Chapter 21. Oliver knew not the cause of this sudden exclamation, for, not being strong enough to bear the start it gave him, he fainted away, a weakness on his part, which affords the narrative an opportunity of relieving the reader from suspense, in behalf of the two young pupils of the merry old gentleman, and of recording that when the Dodger and his accomplished friend Master Bates joined in the hue and cry which was raised at Oliver's heels, in consequence of their executing an illegal conveyance of Mr. Brownlow's personal property, as has been already described, they were actuated by a very laudable and becoming regard for themselves, and forasmuch as the freedom of the subject, and the liberty of the individual, are among the first and proudest boasts of a true-hearted Englishman, so, I need hardly beg the reader to observe, that this action should tend to exalt them in the opinion of all public and patriotic men, in almost as great a degree as this strong proof of their anxiety for their own preservation and safety goes to corroborate and confirm the little code of laws which certain profound and sound judging philosophers have laid down as the mainsprings of all nature's deeds and actions. The said philosophers very wisely reducing the good lady's proceedings to matters of maxim and theory, and, by a very neat and pretty compliment to her exalted wisdom and understanding, putting entirely out of sight any considerations of heart, or generous impulse and feeling. For, these are matters totally beneath a female who is acknowledged by universal admission to be far above the numerous little foibles and weaknesses of her sex. If I wanted any further proof of the strictly philosophical nature of the conduct of these young gentlemen in their very delicate predicament, I should at once find it in the fact also recorded in a foregoing part of this narrative, of their quitting the pursuit, when the general attention was fixed upon Oliver, and making immediately for their home by the shortest possible cut. Although I do not mean to assert that it is usually the practice of renowned and learned sages to shorten the road to any great conclusion, their course indeed being rather to lengthen the distance, by various circumlocations and discursive staggerings, like unto those in which drunken men under the pressure of a too mighty flow of ideas are prone to indulge. Still, I do mean to say, and do say distinctly, that it is the invariable practice of many mighty philosophers, in carrying out their theories, to evince great wisdom and foresight, in providing against every possible contingency which can be supposed at all likely to affect themselves. Thus, to do a great right, you may do a little wrong, and you may take any means which the end to be attained will justify, the amount of the right, or the amount of the wrong, or indeed the distinction between the two, being left entirely to the philosopher concerned, to be settled and determined by his clear, comprehensive, and impartial view of his own particular case. It was not until the two boys had scoured, with great rapidity, through a most intricate maze of narrow streets and courts, that they ventured to halt beneath a low and dark archway. Having remained silent here, just long enough to recover breath to speak, Master Bates uttered an exclamation of amusement and delight, and, bursting into an uncontrollable fit of laughter, flung himself upon a doorstep, and rolled thereon in a transport of mirth. "What's the matter?" inquired the Dodger. "Ha, ha, ha," roared Charlie Bates. "Hold your noise," remonstrated the Dodger, looking cautiously round. "Do you want to be grabbed, stupid?" "I can't help it," said Charlie, "I can't help it." To see him splitting away at that pace, and cutting round the corners, and knocking up again the posts, and starting on again, as if he was made of iron as well as them, and me with the wipe in my pocket, singing out arter him, "Oh, my eye!" The vivid imagination of Master Bates presented the scene before him in two strong colors. As he arrived at this he again rolled upon the doorstep, and laughed louder than before. What'll Fadgen say? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired the Dodger, taking advantage of the next interval of breathlessness on the part of his friend to propound the question. What? Apostrophe apostrophe repeated Charlie Bates. Ah, what? Apostrophe apostrophe said the Dodger. Why, what should he say? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Charlie, stopping rather suddenly in his merriment, for the Dodger's manner was impressive. What should he say? Apostrophe, Mr. Dawkins whistled for a couple of minutes, then, taking off his hat, scratched his head, and nodded thrice. What do you mean? Apostrophe apostrophe said Charlie. Turololoo, gammon and spinach, the frog he wouldn't, and Ica colorum, apostrophe said the Dodger, with a slight sneer on his intellectual countenance. This was explanatory, but not satisfactory. Master Bates felt it so, and again said, what do you mean? Apostrophe apostrophe, the Dodger made no reply, but putting his hat on again, and gathering the skirts of his long-tailed coat under his arm, thrust his tongue into his cheek, slapped the bridge of his nose some half dozen times in a familiar but expressive manner, and turning on his heel, slunk down the court. Master Bates followed, with a thoughtful countenance. The noise of footsteps on the creaking stairs, a few minutes after the occurrence of this conversation, roused the merry old gentleman as he sat over the fire with a saveloy, and a small loaf in his hand, a pocket knife in his right, and a pewter pot on the trivet. There was a rascally smile on his white face as he turned round, and looking sharply out from under his thick red eyebrows, bent his ear towards the door, and listened. Why, how's this? Apostrophe apostrophe muttered the Jew, changing countenance. Only two of 'em? Where's the third? They can't have got into trouble. Hark! Apostrophe, the footsteps approached nearer, they reached the landing. The door was slowly opened, and the Dodger and Charlie Bates entered, closing it behind them. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.